Good morning, everyone. My name is Todd Cochran, and you are watching Saturday Morning Tech. And of course, I want to welcome my two guests today, Anna McCaskey from RVNN.tv up on top, and Dr. Bill from DrBill.tv on the bottom. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Beautiful fall day here, but Todd, we're looking for frost here tonight.
Well, that's, my mom said the same thing. Did it actually get down to 32 degrees or?
I think they're a little bit concerned. It's like 34, 35, and then, you know, perfectly clear skies. So time to bring things in.
Well, I think it's about that time anyway. It's October, so that shouldn't come as a surprise, but Dr. Bill, how about you? How are you this morning?
Oh, doing fine. It's crisp here in North Carolina, but it's overcast. But other than that, it is definitely not down in the 30s. I think we're scheduled for about 62 today. So, but compared to the last few weeks, it's definitely quite a bit cooler.
If I could, Dr. Bill, you're just a little bit quiet. So if I can make sure you get up in the mic good, that would be great. Okay. Andy, I think you were okay. But, okay. Well, I tell you, it's been an interesting week here. I just finished, 7 days of jury duty without actually sitting on a jury. So, yeah,
I feel like you're wasting your time entirely.
Well, it was interesting watching the process. I was, assigned to a case, was a, three people at, two of them Army, or basically, I don't think they're Army anymore. If they are, they've been in jail for the last year. But two Army guys and one gal, and there was all kinds of interesting things involving the case, but it was an attempted murder case. So it was a pretty serious charge, but it took so long because each of the defendants had their own lawyers, and it was one of these cases where all three were going to be tried at the same time. So, anyway, luckily I did not get on because they say the judge was saying it was going to be like 3 weeks once the actual case got started. But, you know, once you get off the trial and you're not worried about, you know, having to be quiet, not disclosing anything, I went and read about their case and pretty serious case. So, but anyway, the wheels of justice move slowly. They don't move swiftly. That's for sure. But you'll have to get up there in Southern Michigan, Andy, and check out the progress of my mom's house building. She's got a second floor, but no roof yet. So, well, anyway, it's a beautiful about 80 degrees here in Honolulu, and not a breeze, and it's a little trade winds. It's perfect time of year. Hey, one thing I want to do before we get started talking about tech stuff is there's a gal named Roz Savage. And have you guys heard about Roz?
Roz in the ocean, right? Pacific Ocean. She's out and about.
Yeah, she's been on, she's doing a row right now from, where did she start? Somewhere, I guess, in South America. And she's now fast approaching the African continent. She's actually going to be making landfall soon. She's been out 151 days, and she's basically not going all the way into Africa because of the, you know, the pirate situation. She's going to be landing in an island just very close to Africa. But she's done a number of rows. She's done the Atlantic from England to the United States. She's done a row from California to Hawaii, Hawaii to a South Pacific island. So she's done a number of rows, and she has now basically today announced that she's not going to be rowing the North Atlantic or any other place. But for those that have never watched or read about Roz, I encourage them to go over to RozSavage.com. Almost sounds like a wrestler, doesn't it? When you hear the word Roz Savage, WWF. But she's a pretty tough lady. 151 days at sea rowing is pretty amazing.
Yeah, didn't she have a program on the Twit Network for a while, Roz Rose the Pacific?
Yeah, and I don't think she did it with Leo this time. I think she did her own production. I don't know what happened there, but she did have that. So,
yeah, I think they retired the show on Twitch. So, you know, she must be, like you say, doing it on her own now.
But
did she do Beach Walks as well, or am I thinking of someone else?
No. Beach Walks is done by a gal here in Hawaii. Her name is Roxanne Darling. And
Roz and Roxanne, that's where the confusion was.
Yeah, Roxanne actually has just moved to Maui, and I don't know what they're going to be doing over there. As she says, it's their next phase of life, her and her partner Shane. And so they're an interesting couple. I love hanging out with them when I get a chance, but we're going to miss them here in Oahu because they are over in Maui. But it's a good thing they're in Maui right now, because about 400 of the Google Plusers are over there. And it'd be nice to run into those guys and quiz some of them folks down. But Google has basically treated a bunch of the Google Plus team to a trip to Maui. So that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I could go.
Yeah, me too. Speaking of Google Plus, how are you guys doing on Google Plus? I've just had absolute phenomenal growth on this. It's just been an amazing experience so far. Lots of great conversations. I just breached, let me look here. I got to 5,000 people faster. Well, I'm right now at 5,401, and I got that number faster than I've done on any other social network. And the conversations are just absolutely fantastic. Have you guys been messing at all with Google Plus?
Yeah, I've been using it a little bit, and I'm actually impressed, like you say, with the conversations. It seems to me the people that are on Google Plus tend to be a little more thoughtful, actually want to talk about serious topics instead of just saying, hey, I'm having lunch and I had this to eat, you know, just the kind of silly junk that you have on most social network sites. This is a lot more serious and a lot more interesting from my perspective.
Yeah, I agree. Andy, have you been on at all?
I haven't been on as much as I was initially, right when it first began. But the times that I have gone over there to visit, I would certainly agree that more substantive conversations and of course the thing that I love is links that are pertinent as opposed to links that people are just kind of stuffing in there.
Yeah, I agree too. Hey, the guys in the chat room are basically saying they're still having a hard time here, Dr. Bill. I've got him cranked up as much as I can.
All right, let's see what I can do about that.
So I just turned up your amp even more, so hopefully that doesn't completely drive it out. But
I don't blast you out with what I'm going to do here.
So anyway, one thing that I've been watching, and kind of just from an observation standpoint, and again, this is not super tech related, but I've been watching what's been going on with this demonstration in Wall Street, and doggone it, I had a great link, and I don't know what's happened to it here. Maybe I overwrote it.
Is that a little better in terms of the volume?
Yeah, a little better. Not much, but a little.
All right, let me.
I think it'll be okay. I think this will be fine. Right. And actually, now we're overdriving just a little bit.
Overcompensated. All right, hold on.
Okay, we're okay. Just leave it there.
It's there. All right.
Yeah. So I understand what they're complaining, and they're using this 99% meme in their protest, and there's that is pretty. It's pretty amazing. It's called We Are the 99%.tumblr.com. And I just want to show this to you guys. And people are putting messages up on the website. And okay, so here it is. People take a picture of themselves holding up a handwritten note. All right, here's a gal. I'm going to school so I can become a police officer. The required course has been cut. I cannot afford the $3,600 for the police academy. I am a 99%er. Here's another one. I worked my butt off to escape a stage in which I not only felt unrepresented but unsafe. After 2 weeks in my new state without a job, I feel as if I'm helpless. The only way I can go to school is by giving in and placing myself in lifelong debt. I am the 99% whose life is controlled by the other 1%. My father lost his job. My brother is the owner of a piece of paper that is all he has to show for 4 years of hard work, and it's gotten him nowhere. My parents in debt for putting their 6 kids in college. They are the 99%. I'm a writer. I'm nobody special, but much like you, I'm a dreamer. I'll be around Liberty Square on Saturday all day. Find me. Basically, it's people are talking about the financial situations they're in. And, you know, I'm seeing a theme. And the large majority of these people are 24 to 40. Some are over. I'm seeing some single fathers. I'm seeing, I'm 28, 48. But it all looks in some vets and stuff like that. But the main theme is these people have huge, large majority of them have huge, bills to pay back for college, $30,000, $40,000, $80,000, $160,000 of debt, no health insurance. Not been to a doctor in 2 or 3 years. So these are all, and you know, these are people that are taking the time to put up this information. Here's another one. 2 years ago, we were middle class. We had a 6-figure combined income, 401k and savings, all gone. I got laid off twice in 2 years. I've worked 3 of the last 2 to 6 months. And he's a vet who's lost his job. So have you guys been watching this? And what, you know, this 99% meme is an interesting one. What do you guys think?
Well, it's interesting in the sense that I've seen a variation on this theme on a lot of different programs and websites. And NPR had a thing recently about some folks that are meeting in New York. I think it's Central Park, if memory serves. And they're discussing the financial situation and so forth. I was a little confused by one person that said they quit their job to go to New York to sit in on this, you know, event.
That's a little odd.
Now they're jobless and yet supposedly concerned about the fact that there's no job. So I didn't quite understand that, but there are people who are legitimately hurting. I know I went without a job for almost a year, and in the tech industry, if you're out of the industry for that long, it's hard to get back in, particularly when you're an older guy like me. And I'm not that old. I'm 55, but still, with the gray hair, they tend to look at you and say, well, you're not staying up with the technology, you're too entrenched. And of course, with me, nothing could be further from the truth. I'm an R&D kind of guy, so I try to stay on top of it. But once I got a job, I am very thankful for the job that I now have. Been working there for a little over 4 years and really enjoy it. But my heart goes out to these folks that have all these issues. I don't really see the percentage as being quite that drastic, that there's really 99% that are totally destitute and only 1%, you know, that are in positions of influence, I think is their real point.
I think the 99% refers to, refers to a study that came out that basically shows that 1% of the population hold 99% of the wealth and the rest of us. And there is, it might be a little bit more skewed, but there was 3 different categories. But anyway, I don't want to get too obviously political on this, but I think that's where the memes started. I don't know if they're, but it is curious that they show from the 80s until now, the gap spreading. And in other words, well, I think we all know that our dollar is not going as far. Andy, any thoughts?
Well, I think that there's a couple of things going on. Obviously, the distribution proportionally has changed tremendously over the past 30 years, that's the one factor. I think the other factor is the perception of what's going on, just with the availability of new media that lets people go ahead and express their opinion. How you weight that opinion is something that you might want to think about.
Yeah, it's an interesting time, and we'll see where this takes it to. But it's you don't hear nothing about this in the news at all. If it wasn't for the web, people wouldn't even know that it was going on.
Well, the fact that Radiohead canceled their concert, or maybe there never was a concert, but there's a bit of a flap there, I think.
Oh, I didn't even know that. So, go ahead.
Apparently, it was circulating that Radiohead was going to give a free concert there to the people who were at the Wall Street, at sitting area. And that spread like wildfire, lots of excited people. And then it turned out that, that was kind of an urban legend that got into the wrong hands. We had one of our content creators here yesterday who's on the business side of the RV industry. He said, you just have to remember that the press is—it's a pack of dogs. They're going to be going wherever the pack is at that particular moment. And if you just look at mainstream coverage the past 3 or 4 days, you can see some days are slow news days,
right,
and then things that actually probably aren't really that important, fill a lot of airtime because it's kind of like between other maybe more major events. Or events are a little more complex to discuss, and so it is interesting to see which stories get followed up. And I suspect that this will get more play, if it becomes more visual, i.e., more violent or more entertaining, and if it does, and if things are relatively slow in a couple of other areas, I think we'll hear more about this activity there.
Yeah, I think the only thing they actually picked up on so far was the police officer pepper spraying. It looked unprovoked, and the NYPD saying they're investigating it. But anyway, that was about the only thing national media even slightly picked up, I think. Hey, let's talk about Yahoo. They're going to they announced Friday they're having a big announcement on Monday, followed almost immediately by Jack Ma, Alibaba's, I'm probably pronouncing this right, Alibaba, saying that...
From Alibaba, yeah.
Yeah, he says, we're very interested in buying the whole of Yahoo, but I don't think he'd be saying that on a Friday if they're making an announcement on Monday. I think that would be pretty much under wraps from a stock price standpoint. But he says he's interested in buying it. But what do you think? This Chinese is coming in and buying up tech companies seems to be the rage right now.
Well, are they buying up tech companies with smart leadership, or are they buying up tech companies that maybe, I don't know whether you want to envy them or just kind of sit back and watch it happen.
Yeah, it's pretty sad what has happened to Yahoo. I don't understand the attraction. I never go to their services at all. And Dr. Bill,
I don't use Yahoo. I have had a Yahoo account many years ago, and actually I even needed it then only for a specific need. I don't even remember what that was, but I just really have never been a Yahoo fan or AOL. I never got into that. I guess I was somehow down in the tech trenches before AOL came along and made it friendly for everybody. But I have friends that love AOL. They love Yahoo, have email accounts there. But I just never got into it.
Yeah, I don't know what the situation is. We'll see. We'll see what their announcement is on Monday. But apparently... Chang's been running Jerry Yang has been running the company. They're saying he's kind of took over, but maybe they found a CEO or something since they fired that other gal who I mistake for someone else on my show 707 quite embarrassingly. Hey, Kindle, of course, this past week announced their new lineup of Kindles, coming in with the Kindle Fire at $199, which I feel is a pretty good price, all things considered. I pre-ordered one just so that I, you know, it's the cheapest, probably one of the cheapest Android devices out there, even though it's going to be a little bit of a, you know, it's going to be a little bit different than a normal Android device because it's got their own Amazon's own cut on it. But good price point. What do you guys think? Think this is going to sell well for them?
I think it'll really take off. Yeah.
Go ahead, Dr. Bill.
I think it's really going to take off, not only because of the price point and the company, the, you know, being as large as they are behind it, but I think the spin they put on their services combined with the tablet are going to make it really, really attractive, particularly for Amazon customers. I've got the original Kindle, the larger, clunkier one, and I paid $260 for it, and have been very pleased with it. Although now with the Kindle software, I have it on my ViewSonic G tablet. I've got the Kindle software there. I've got it on my my Android phone, which is a Droid X. I've got it on the PC, so I can read my Kindle library practically anywhere. And I really like that they've done that because it's like having my library pretty much anywhere I go. If I'm sitting in the car waiting on my wife at the store, I can whip out my phone and be reading a Star Trek book or whatever. And I really just get a kick out of that ease of use and flexibility. But I think this is going to be a big deal for them. And you know, they're already talking about potentially selling out. I had an article on my blog this week about, you know, if you want one, order quick and get in line early, because I think it is going to be a huge seller for them.
Andy?
Yeah, well, I think the other thing that's encouraging is very much like the Barnes & Noble Nook. My right. brother has one of the original Nooks, and he's certainly not a technical person, but very quickly he got on and found that there was a rootkit for the thing where he could yep. Put some little extensions on it. And so I would suspect that once these things get out into the populace by November 15th, by end of the year, there'll be some interesting hacks associated with this thing.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm starting a new netcast, as a matter of fact, called The Handheld Hack. I haven't got the first episode up yet, but I've got the website up. And for that very reason, the Nook, the G tablet that I mentioned, the operating system that came on it was Android 2.2, clunky, didn't even have the Android market. But I immediately, as soon as I got it, hacked it and put the Cyanogen mod on it. And the thing is, it's like a whole new device. And so it got me interested in this whole thing of these handheld devices and hacking them and improving them. It almost reminds me of the old original ham radio build your own system days. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Todd, you see how I teed that up for him?
I did.
There you go.
That was a nice move there, Andy. So yesterday, Microsoft, I guess, deciding that they can't handle the competition with IE market share plummeting, decided that they are going to make Chrome, basically flagged it as it being malware and basically had it removed from people's systems that were running the Security Essentials suite. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've had more people complained to me about getting viruses using Microsoft Security Essentials than anyone else, but yet, I just don't use it because of that reason alone. But any of you get your Chrome whacked yesterday by Microsoft?
No, I haven't, but I haven't run the updates recently here. I just was down the road this past week with IE9 and trying to get streaming video to run. I think it was had some messages there with Angelo. So these guys not doing us any favors right now.
Yeah, and I have an article up about it as well. The big thing is Microsoft is claiming that this was a faulty antivirus definition update. They claim it only affected about 3,000 users that lost Chrome, and they posted a way to fix it quickly. But they immediately updated the antivirus update and said, if you will grab the latest update, then this is September 30th as of 9:57 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time is when the updated signature came out. If you get that one, it's supposed to eliminate the problem. But they caught it pretty quickly, but it was, I thought, humorous that it removed Chrome when that's probably one of their biggest competitors. So, you know, anti-competitive action, maybe.
Well, one thing's for sure is that there was an announcement that they feel Chrome will reach the number two spot by the end of the year. The growth has been that fantastic that they are going to bypass Firefox. And, you know, you hate to, you know, it makes me completely aggravated because, you know, here I was a big Firefox fan, and they've updated it and said they're going to make it more memory friendly. But, you know, I got the 701 version running, and last night I loaded up these tabs for the show on it and figured, oh, it's only like 10 tabs because I don't have as much stuff that we cover than the normal weekly show. And, you know, I get on the computer this morning and, you know, Firefox is just dogging. I mean, it can barely, barely run. It's dragging the computer down. So I had to transfer the links over to Chrome in order to, you know, get Firefox so it wouldn't crash. And they've been on these updates so fast that most of my plugins are dropping off. And, yeah. So my plugins where I would normally store a session where I can save all the tabs in a session is gone. And I think, you know, they talked about a couple of weeks ago, they're going to slow up a little bit on their release cycle, but it just pisses you off because get it fixed right the first time and don't put it out until it's ready. But they feel so much pressure to compete right now. I think it's doing them more harm than good.
It's hard to compete against Chrome, too, because it's just so fast. It's so agile. And I love some of the features, like being able to keep all my bookmarks synchronized between all the different computers I use. I've got one at work, one here at home, my laptop. And having those bookmark, you know, I guess you'd call it menu bar items be the same is just awesome to me. And the speed. I just can't get around that. Sorry, Andy, I didn't mean to step on you.
Go ahead.
I absolutely agree. We've shifted over almost exclusively to using Chrome here, simply because of the speed and the ability. I mean, it's just little things like back in your history to pull tabs that you closed because, you know, it's easy to click the wrong tab and end up forgetting that particular URL. The other thing is as it updates, I guess each time that it starts, it's a very unobtrusive, and I think that's a big feature as well.
It's just you know, and I don't know what Firefox is going to be able to do when you're competing with the deep pockets of Google, and of course Firefox is part of the Mozilla Foundation, and you know I'm sure they have limited resources. It's not like they can bet the farm and throw everything on it because, you know, along with it, they've got Thunderbird and all their other products, which I use. And it's pretty sad to see what's happening here. Hey, moving on to a new topic. Have you guys seen this website called about.me? Are you guys familiar with this?
Let me take a quick look here.
This is an absolutely cool way of really kind of just having a page about you. And let me do it. I got turned on by this, by, believe it or not, Andy, it was someone we talked about here earlier in the show, Roxanne Darling, sent me a link. And So, okay, am I going to be able to find rocks? Yeah. So here is a picture of a rocks as Paige. And it's very simple. It just says Roxanne Dowling. She's got a little subtitle, Just Being Me, More Than Meets the Eye. It's got her LinkedIn or Twitter feed or Facebook, YouTube, Flickr, or Instagram, a place to email, a website to look at, and really not much more than that. And this is just a little kind of a landing page, and it's smartphone friendly. You can go here and see this on a smartphone. And kind of, you know, I think it's kind of a cool little project, and people are putting really nice images up. Let me look at someone else's image here. Oh, here's another page. It's a little bit different, different layout. So here's one that has resources, and you know, basically, they've got a little different layouts, but I think these pages are pretty cool, and they just recently run a contest, but they're also, of course, pushing business cards as well. So basically, and it's a business card that just has your picture on it, and then on the back, it's got a QRC code, and the QRC code takes you to your About Me dot name website. And of course, this is how the QR code looks on your iPhone. You snap the QR code and it loads this quick info page. So I think this is pretty cool. These are, it got my attention. I think though, what I would like and is a QR, if I was going to put a QRC code on a business card, I want a QRC card that's going to take them back to geeknewscentral.com. I don't want to come back to About Me. So I don't know how hard that is and how hard it is to implement a QRC code that will take you to a page, or do you have to have a server-side back service in order to do it? Are you guys familiar with this at all?
With QR codes?
Yeah, with how you implement a QR code to basically, instead of sending them to About Me, or how do you, do those have a way to send them to a specific website?
Sure. If you just Google QR code generators, you can direct them to a rich media file. You can direct them to a web page. There's a lot of flexibility. I think some of them can also be directed to an SMS.
Yeah, there's one here.
I'm not quite clear.
Yeah, it's qrcode.kaywa.com is one I found, and it specifically has the ability to redirect to a URL. You can put it right in there, and you can change the size of the QR code and then just print it out on whatever you want there. So pretty slick.
I think I'm going to do this for our business cards. I think that would be really cool, you know, especially on a – you know, on your, you know, that's, I think that's what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to add a QR code to my business card. Definitely a quick way to get someone to your website, isn't it?
It, yeah. It certainly is. Or you could direct them to a PowerPoint, like a SlideShare site that, you know, step through a presentation. There's all sorts of ways that you could use that.
Right. And I just created one where it basically, it's a URL. And then you just take that text and you get that embedded in a, very, very smart, interesting stuff.
Very slick.
Now this doesn't require the person to come back to, this isn't being resourced by kaywa.com. The QRC readers are smart enough to know to go there without having to use someone else's server, right?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. It just decodes that two-dimensional barcode. In fact, to flip it up here, I'll go ahead and take a picture. Even on the iPhone 1, it works. And the app is called QuickMark.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can take a real quick picture here.
And then we'll come back to Andy's.
And we'll see. Okay. I said it works. I didn't say it worked quickly. Hey, but man, I'm waiting for the iPhone 5.
I bet you are. You're still
there
on
that. It is. Wow.
So we're going to go back to your page. Now show us the cell phone, Andy. Did you get it?
Yes, but I'm on edge here, so it takes it takes a while. Yeah, it popped up almost instantly as soon as it saw it. And right now, with Edge, it's loading very slowly. It's loading the Geek News Central site.
Oh, it is.
Yep. Awesome. Yeah, it's not. It's I don't have it hooked to the Wi-Fi.
Right.
But yeah, there's a GNC site and two little gee, I don't understand flash icons.
So anyway, pretty cool from that perspective. So it might be worth doing that. So the question is, do you want, you know, you could almost, it's too bad you can't embed a whole bunch of stuff in one because you have to pick URL, text, phone number, or SMS. So you have to pick one of the four. And I'm sure there's some other services out there that ties it to different types of things. So I would imagine then that, that's kind of cool. So you just pointed at your About Me if that's where you want to send people. Yeah, kind of cool.
Yes.
Well, definitely.
Hey, Todd, I've got.
Go ahead.
Got a. While we're on the subject of apps and so forth, there's a connection to one of our friends from CES last year who's involved in a new company that is a an online dating site.
Oh, really?
You want to learn more?
Yeah. So tell me more.
It's actually pretty cool. It's like RND, Romeo November Delta. VOO.com. And it is, it's an app that basically once you have this app and you log into it, it goes through the friends that you have with your social media accounts,
right?
Figures out which ones are single and then, you know, allows then is a matchmaker kind of thing between the two, between people that, and where you are, you know, if you're married in the middle, but you happen to have friends who are single, on both sides of the exchange, then you become kind of the matchmaker.
Mm.
And because it's location aware, it says, hey, here's a person that, you know, that knows Todd. So you have a friend in common already, and they're just a half block down the street at this other club.
Well, I don't think that's an app probably you and I should have on our phones, Andy.
No, that's what they were saying. Me that either. it's your friends, and you can either sign up as a candidate in the pool, or you can sign up kind of as a matchmaker.
Oh, okay, that's probably safer to be a matchmaker. Yeah, because that's
I think that's right.
you know, your wife come on and say, well, what's this dating app on your phone for?
yeah.
So who but, can you say who anyway, can you say who it is?
Sure. It's Scott Elliott.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, he's the CEO for this company.
Is he a temporary or is he part of the founding group?
I'm not sure. I think he's just recently joined and working with them. But very interesting concept. They go ahead and make the connections, and then it's tied in with restaurants and so forth in the area that that makes kind of a recommendation as far as a special for dinner for those two people or whatever. Very interesting business model, and just showing the combination of social networking and location aware.
So, Andy, are you going to be going down and picking up your iPhone 5 immediately next week?
Not immediately, because I'm traveling, but I'm thinking the week after that.
If they have any left, right?
I'm pretty stoked. I think going from an iPhone, from the iPhone 1, I think I'm about ready for an upgrade.
Yeah, I'm trying. You know, I got an iPhone 3GS here that is jailbroke, but I can't get the thing so that it will take a different SIM card. You know, it's all. I just don't quite understand what I'm not doing right. And my wife wants that 3GS to put her T-Mobile stick in, and I don't know if it's the version I have loaded or something, but I'm usually pretty handy at getting that done. But it's been kicking my butt.
Dr. Bill, I've got an Android question for you.
All right.
I was in a Kroger, and I saw over on their prepaid phone rack that they actually had several Android models where you could purchase outright from, I don't know, maybe $70 to even the very top of the line was $150. And they seemed to be on Android, I think it was 2.3. And I guess my question is that, are you familiar with these? I was really kind of amazed to see them offered in that under that prepaid business model.
Yeah, I'm sort of surprised to hear that they have them on the prepaid model, but I have heard, and you may have heard about this, Quicken Loans, now has a program that they're advertising with Magic Johnson where you apply for a loan if you get I don't know if you get a pre-approved or whatever it is, they will send you an Android smartphone for free, but you have to sign up for a two-year plan and you have to have your credit approved. A couple of caveats there, but it's bringing smartphones down to folks that may not have been able to afford them before or maybe haven't gotten on the bandwagon, so to speak. So I think this kind of thing, whether it's the Quicken promotion or, as you say, the prepaid one, is going to bring a lot more folks into the fold. And, I'm also looking forward to the later version of Ice Cream Sandwich that's going to be coming out, later version of Android, which is going to improve it even further. So I'm pretty stoked about the direction Android's heading in. And the more and more devices that we're seeing using it, whether it's tablets, phones, all kinds of devices are picking up on the Android operating system. Since you guys are iPhone users, did you get the welcome to iCloud email this week from Apple?
No, I did not, but I heard a few people did.
Yeah. I don't know how they determined who got it, but they basically are saying that if you follow the instructions, you'll be up and running on iCloud in no time. And I'm very curious about what they're going to do with iCloud and what all it will involve. I'm a big Dropbox user, and I'm pretty excited about the Bitcasa beta that's coming out. That's apparently patented technology where they're going to be able to have a cloud-based hard drive where you can buy infinite space for $10 a month and have it on all your devices. So I'm pretty excited about the direction that's heading in.
One thing that we're getting from the chat room is the audio is still low. I've got everyone cranked as absolutely high as I can, so I don't know what else I can do at this point. And I've turned all my, I basically have everything potted as high as it can go. So doing the best we can.
More.
Or dilithium crystals.
Yeah, it's normally not an issue, but they're having a hard time hearing today for some reason. I have to go back and look at the audio chain here. Hey, moving on to the next topic, the FCC has published the net neutrality rules, and they're set to take effect November 20th. And basically, it wasn't until the regulations were published in the Federal Register on September 23rd that they became fair game for legal challenges. And Verizon has been the first. They have appealed the net neutrality rules. And so I guess the wrangling is beginning. But boy, I tell you, these companies are sure scared of this set of rulings, aren't they?
Well, I think as well they should be. And I think that as business models are, inherently unstable, I was reading that I think it was Time Warner was considering some unbundling because they recognize that more and more people are anxious to have, they want the data pipe, but they're not wild about, 240 channels that they never watch.
Well, that's a little bit of a different topic, but, I guess it isn't, but, here's what I've heard about the unbundling. They're starting to say that they're going to start unbundling stuff, but there's an ulterior motive. What they want to do is unbundle ESPN, and some other premium channels and then make those a bundle. So you're going to now, instead of getting ESPN as part of your normal cable lineup, you will have to pay for it like you pay for HBO. So they say there is no win here for the consumer. I guess if they unbundle ESPN out of my normal, out of a normal package, and I don't have to pay, they take that out of my bill, whatever they are paying on that per head bit, if it was $5 or $6 they're paying per head for ESPN, I'd be happy to give up ESPN. It's not a big deal for me, but they say that's the reason that they're going to start making more micro bundles of different networks, because they, that's their idea of unbundling or bundling.
Yeah.
Well, if they would allow us to do a la carte, you know, where we could just pick what we wanted, that would be the ultimate to me, is just let me pick the channels I'm really interested in. Tell me what you want me to pay for that. And that'd be good. But now you're giving me channels I don't care anything about, just so I can get the one that's in that bundle. And that doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I can see it from their point of view, well, obviously.
Within net neutrality, that I think is such an issue, is that carriers are trying to figure out how do they not become marginalized or devalued as you know, bit pipes only. And so you can certainly expect challenge after challenge after challenge, because with the rest of the business landscape kind of unstable, you know, their obligation to their stockholders is to make sure that they can keep premium levels of service. And you know, it's going to be I would expect a long and protracted fight that's coming up in the appeals of these rules.
I think that they're going to battle to the end. They know their backs are up against the wall. It's like the record store business. You know, they, you know, I think though, you know, they really don't have that much to worry about, because as we talked about on this show previously, people that are 15 and above are not going to be disconnecting their cable service. But my 21-year-old, she doesn't have cable service. She's got her computer. So, you know, it's a matter of perception. And it, over time, it's going to become more critical for them.
Well, what did you think about the Microsoft's announcement about their Xbox TV network, where they're going to start carrying essentially cable channels through the Xbox? I mean, maybe I can see what you're saying about the age range. Of course, I'm a skewed version of that. But at the same time, if you've got a son or daughter with an Xbox and they say, hey, we could be watching TV off the Xbox, why do we pay cable? People are going to look to save money or cut expenses anywhere they can. And that's, I think it's going to take off.
Well, you know, just like I was looking to switch here to, Hawaiian Telecom has a bundle. You can pick cable. I mean, you have to pick TV and phone, TV, internet and phone, TV and internet, all the combinations, except you could not buy internet by itself. So this this basically telephone carrier, you know, I told them I just want to buy the internet. And they said, oh, no, you have to buy one of the other packages. They wouldn't even allow me to, I could buy DSL still, but I couldn't switch to their new cable internet with 25 megs down unless I bought the other service. So I think what's going to end up happening at some point is the thing is, they should have thought about this 15 years ago, but the cable providers are, you're going to start seeing that those of us that have internet only are going to start paying a huge premium just to have internet only. Now I pay $110 for internet only, and that gets me 50 down and 5 up. They just basically, they're finally, we got some competition here, and we finally went to got some new speed. You know, amazing when there's been no competition for years, and as soon as someone announces that, hey, we got 25 megs down, Time Warner says, hey, oh, by the way, we've got 55 now. So I pay $110. The reason I pay, it would normally be about $90 if I had the cable turned on. But they make me pay a premium for having internet only. So I would see that number increasing with time as they're trying to protect their media business.
So why don't you just take basic cable and don't use it?
Because basic cable is like $50.
No,
so put you back where you were.
Said if you took cable, it would have been $90 a month.
No. It would be 90 plus the, excuse me.
Plus.
Right. If the internet's still going to cost me 90 or 110, if it gets to cost me 90 plus the 50 for basic cable, I'm at 140. If I have the cable standalone, it's 110. So I hope that makes sense.
I think it's going to depend a lot on exactly where you are. I mean, here, High Point, North Carolina is part of the Piedmont Triad. It's a fairly, I guess, business-oriented, services-oriented area. We've got North State Telephone, so I get my connection through DSL, and I've got 20 down and one up. And it's like, I think it's like $45 a month for that. But what I need is bandwidth going out.
Right.
And
that's what I need.
They
too.
Actually have 30 symmetrical available for $90 a month, but you have to be near to town to get in on the fiber optic lines that they're laying. So I'm just outside. I'm about 9 miles out of town. But once that gets here, I am on it in a flash because I could really use that bandwidth to load the video out.
Well, it's made a complete difference here. Now, when I finish the show, the weekly show, I finish about 9:30. I have the video packaged and ready to up in an hour. It's basically done rendering everything it needs to be done, and I can start the upload. And I can go basically out to the bedroom, and maybe watch 15 or 20 minutes worth of TV, and I can come back. And because I've got this 5 meg pipe now. Within 30 minutes, that 1 gig file is uploaded and ready for publishing. Whereas before, I would just go to bed and get up in the morning and publish it, and it would be ready in the morning. Complete change in my workflow. It extends my day a little bit, but it also gets my file dropped 5 hours sooner, which is huge, from that perspective. And I understand completely the challenges with needing more bandwidth up, and it's even my son notices playing Xbox, he's not getting schwacked as much because he's got faster reaction time in playing the game.
Yep.
Hey Andy, do you remember at CES seeing that Samsung Series 7 computer? Do you remember seeing that?
Samsung Series 7.
Oh, your audio is. Hey Andy, your audio is really bad. I don't know what happened.
Okay. I think that my Dynex has struck again here. Let me shift to a different mic.
That or you're being Skyped.
We need to have him invest in a different headset besides Dynex. Dynex is a real high quality.
How's this working, Todd? Is this
it's,
better?
No, it's the same.
Hmm.
Okay, so I've shifted over to the internal mic here. So
I don't think so. Didn't change at
that's
all.
That's better.
A
that
little
is better on my end.
Yeah, this,
there you go.
This is
that's
this
better.
This is the internal mic now.
Okay, yeah, you're much better.
Yeah. Okay, we'll just continue on in this way. No, what was the you say a Samsung S9?
No, it was the Series 7 computer.
Series 7. Okay.
And actually, let me show you. I fell in love with this when I saw the computer, and I'm not an all-in-one type of guy, but it's one of the few Samsung devices that they really did a great job in the styling of this thing. And if you get a chance when you're at a store and if they've got one of these, just take a look at it. I think it's the closest that they've come to really competing with Apple from a style standpoint. I'm a little confused by this article saying that it's the all-in-one and it's the first desktop for the U.S. market. So it must be this has been waiting to be punched from Samsung for a while, but we saw this at CES, and this is a really nice machine if style is a concern and in your Windows user. So I just wanted to kind of bring that up a little bit.
Yeah, it says it's available for pre-order at Best Buy now too. So
yeah,
it's getting out there.
But I didn't look at the specs or anything, but just from a style perspective, I thought it was pretty nice. How many of you?
i5 is $1,199, and Core 3, i3 is right at $999.
Well, they need to have an i7 with that. If they don't, it doesn't make much sense to buy one. Is there an i7 on the lineup? No,
it says you can look forward to an i7 2.2 gigahertz, 16x900 HD matte display, but it's going to run over 1,000.
Yeah. Yeah, I if you're buying a machine these days, I highly recommend don't do anything without an i7, especially if you're buying a desktop. If you're going to spend the money for a desktop, then, you know, buy an i7. I follow the space stuff pretty close. You guys been following what's going on with SpaceX and their announcement that they are going to, the way they're going to reuse all their stages of their rocketry is to basically to land it. Let me show you. I'm going to show you just a real, I showed this on my a regular show. I don't want to show you guys a quick video, and we'll talk about the feasibility of them actually being able to do this. So anyway, what I wanted to show you there is this is the plan with them. And that's, you know, you think about the amount of fuel they have to go to do their initial burn. How in the world are they going to have enough fuel to control descent on this thing? Now, obviously, this first stage hasn't made it into space and they don't need to do a, they don't have to protect it on reentry. The second stage, they're going to have a shield on it, just like you would from a normal capsule reentry. But I would imagine this thing is going to free fall for a while, wouldn't you? I just can't imagine that they're going to light the torch on this all the way down.
Man, I can't imagine. And then the other thing that, you know, I mean, that's basically a pretty large tank of kerosene there. And I just wonder about the it's got to be cost effective, but wow.
And I think
how much the actual hardware costs them initially. I've always wondered if throwing away their, you know, different stages was such a good idea. But this is impressive. They can pull it off. That's pretty slick.
You know, I'm sure this is going to make for some very interesting videos to watch for the first few tries that they try to make this happen. Because, when things go bad on this type of a on this type of a launch,
like a missile.
It's going to be, you know, it's going to be really bad. But they feel like this is how they feel this is the only way they can compete with the Chinese, and to be cheaper is to be able to reuse a lot of their product. But we'll see if it becomes effective. But they did say very distinctly in the stuff, one day this is going to happen. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, and I'm sure that they're going to have to do a trade-off. You know, it would think to me, I'd want to parachute this thing down for at least a portion of the descent, you know, just from a fuel perspective, but I'm sure they'll figure it out. That's what the engineers get paid the big bucks for.
There you go.
Yeah.
There is a pretty cool website out now called getcomparisons.com. And I like this site. And what it does is it helps you make informed decisions on a variety of different services. And as geeks, we may not need this, but, you know, here's some topics. Final Cut versus Twitter versus Facebook, GitHub versus Bitbucket, Kickstarter versus Indiegogo, and just a number of different, and let me see here. Let me pick one here and we'll see if they actually link to. Okay, here's Square versus PayPal. Does it let me click on it? Yeah, it does. So it basically gives you a breakdown of the different services and, you know, and what they bring to market. So I guess it's a pretty cool little product. And this is, you know, I think this would work out handy for anyone that doesn't have a lot of knowledge about what each of these services do. And might be a great way for, you know, if you have a parent or a significant other that's trying to decide which service to use, it might be a good place to send them over and take a peek. But I get a little bit leery about these kind of sites because there's a lot of perception that can go into a getcomparison.com. You know, if you are, okay, if I'm the owner of PayPal and I want to be compared against Squarespace, I'd be like, hey, why don't I, you know, sponsor over here? So
yeah, grease the skids a bit.
Yeah. So that's the only thing that would really kind of concern me on the.
So what's their business model here?
I don't know. I'd be honest with you. Don't know how they're making money.
I just pulled up WordPress versus Joomla. Now that would be interesting.
Yeah. I think they would have to have something like Consumer Reports where they really work at staying totally above the commercial fray, so to speak. And that would not lend itself well to monetization of their website, obviously.
Right.
Because, you know, what do you do in terms of getting sponsored? But it's a great idea. I think it's really slick.
Another site that I've become aware of here over the last couple of days is a site called People Browser without an R, BROWSR.com. And I really wasn't super impressed with this. If I put in my Twitter name and I go ahead and I say, try it, and it loads up, it's going to say, okay, geek news. It doesn't tell me what communities I'm with. It talks about location, has very little data about me over the last 1,000 days. And I get a huge amount of, you know, traffic and people responding to me. They call me an engineer, 600 influence, 3 outreach, whatever that is. But they come up with, you know, what I've been munching on Blogger and politics, news, sports, and so forth. And it's just kind of a weird way of doing it. Now, if I go back and I do like Blueberry, and we get a huge amount of mentions everywhere on this as well. And let me, it doesn't, of course, it wants me to create an account. So I don't want to do that. Let me back up and see if I can get away from their little ad here. Let's try this again.
I plugged my Twitter handle in and it looks like I'm doing much better from July until now.
So it, you know, it says we're influence 703, outreach is 7. And nothing we do is we do outreach. And, you know, and it just, it's kind of a weird site. And people are, you know, saying this is a great site to use to find out about different topics and, you know, find out what their social media influence is. But I really, you know, I don't know. And this is a People Browser has a whole bunch of different things going on right now. They're launching a lot of different websites, but I don't know if I'm, you know, it's pretty hard, I think, for them to go out and determine strictly by what they're finding on the web to see if you are, what your social media influence is, because there's so many other variables.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, just a site I found and I thought I'd share it with you guys, but you know, they're not pulling in Google Plus or anything else. But they make available analytics, and there's even a site they're doing that's they're trying to compete with Clout. They've got a cred feature where it's called KRED, where they have basically they tell you what your cred is. And I've heard a lot of people poo-pooing Clout as well. And you guys got any thoughts on these sites?
I just flipped over to $149 a month per seat. So my thoughts are limited.
You switched over to what?
On People Browser, I just went down to their pricing section, and I see it is $149 per month per seat.
Wow.
Just to
so
do,
I guess this is entertaining, but not at that price, I'm afraid.
Really?
For me.
Just crazy.
$149, that's, you know, I guess obviously this is a product
Jeremy,
not for,
right down at the bottom there.
You know, here's the thing is that, you know what, there's going to be some company or some media firm or some PR agency that is going to make their whole deck based around, we can develop analytics for who is influencing what products and services. Let me put in here a well-known sponsor of.
I tried a few people like at Veronica for Veronica Belmont.
Right.
And her numbers were not significantly higher. It was like 840 and then about an 8 for outreach. So, I mean, I can't see that being the case as public as her her accounts and opinions and social networking is.
Yeah, it's an interesting, but I guess, you know, this is where they feel the money's at and where it's headed. So we'll see. Of course, Dr. Bill, you talked about the iCloud in the early email already earlier. I had that in the stack here. And, but one thing I do want to talk just a little bit about is Apple's pending announcement, apparently, that they are going to be getting away with the iPod Classic is going away, and one other of their devices, and they've removed the Click Wheel games from iTunes especially, I guess, in anticipation of this change. So I can't imagine, you know, I'm sure the iPad Classic is going to come back in some form. We'll have to wait till next week, but a lot of people are upset about this.
I think there's some of the games have gotten so sophisticated. Some of these little smaller games are not as interesting as they once were. So maybe they're just kind of getting rid of the clutter.
Or maybe it's more about this. It's about the money, too.
Yeah, that, too. Speaking of which, what do you think of, I know this is totally off topic, but Microsoft charging 30% for developers developing for Windows 8. They're going the Apple route. That just kind of got under my skin a bit. It's one thing for Apple to do it. I don't like them doing it, taking 30% of a developer's profit, so to speak. But now Microsoft's going to be doing the same thing, and you won't be able to be in the Microsoft App Store without agreeing to this 30%. And it's a much bigger audience, so...
Well,
I don't know.
Considering how everything's going, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and me either, but it's not something I'm looking forward to.
Well, you know, the other side of that, if you look at, you know, if they just have to, if they have e-commerce costs of, you know, taking credit cards, merchant account, and chargebacks and all of that, you know, there's going to be, 4 or 5% gone right there, plus the aggravation and hassle. And then you look at marketing and availability. You know, I could see, you could make the argument that, you know, yes, it's 30%, but you're also getting rid of a lot of headaches.
Well, you know,
they're not happy to set it up.
We're real close to finally launching our Q2 product, and I'm sure we're going to get some grief back on some of the commission structure, but we have to, you know, we're looking at this, and we had to, you know, I've spent days in a spreadsheet saying, okay, what is my actual cost going to be? Delivery, maintainability, re-downloads, all this stuff that I have to track, and what is my actual cost, and then what percentage does it make sense to stay in business? And there's real cost of doing business. People are so used, and I hate to say this, people are so used to getting stuff for free. And I understand that the, you know, there's a, you know, and I don't necessarily like the 30% number either, but, you know, I understand why people charge the percentages that they do. And, it, you know, as much as you want to try to keep the commissions down, boy, I tell you, in order to make it work in a digital world, you know, there is that, you know, that consideration. And, but again, you have to be able to bring something to the table as well. And I think Microsoft is going to do that in their app store. I don't know if they're going to adopt the same model of I pay once and it goes on all my computers. I'd sure love to see that, but I'm somehow doubting that that's going to happen in the Microsoft model. But, you know, Andy, how many times have you paid for the new version of some of your Mac software?
Well, exactly.
You paid
it's
once, right?
Thing from the, for, exactly. From the standpoint of a small business owner, where you've, you know, personally bought the equipment and you have that registered under your Apple ID, it's a wonderful thing. And it's actually a very good thing from an employee standpoint, because you have a kind of a common operating environment. You go from one box to the next, and you know what the tools are that you have to work with.
But otherwise, you know, I have, I don't have a Windows Machine 1 that's configured the same way. You know, they all have different software.
And it's okay when you're by your, you know, when you're a one man shop, that works, you know, that's not a problem. But as soon as you begin to add employees into the mix, then you have to really look at that compatibility from one machine to the other.
So, Andy, have you decided, are you going to go out to the live streaming show in Los Angeles?
I've got really three competing things for my airline ticket right now. I would love to go to Blog World. I'd love to go to the streaming show, and I'm looking at the CEA conference that is the end of this month as well. And I don't know which one I'm going to end up going to. I suspect I'm going to go to one, but haven't made a final decision on it yet.
Yeah, I can't afford the time to stay in LA for 2 weeks. I'd love to stay for that streaming conference.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, it would be perfect. But they do have that twice a year, so I will probably catch the spring show next year. I figure that's what I'll probably try to do. But Dr. Bill, are you going out to Blog World, or are you going to any events soon?
No, I haven't gotten to an event in a very, very long time. Been kind of tied up here, and my mom, we're having to take care of her, so it's hard to get away from home base here. So maybe down the road a ways we'll be able to do that. But I used to go to trade shows all the time, and I really miss them because you can learn a lot. But I do appreciate, and a little quick plug for TPN here, I appreciate all the folks we've got out there that go to these meetings and like Jeffrey Powers did recently, offer video from some of the things they're going to, and gives us the ability to carry them on our websites. It's a tremendous benefit to me of being part of the network that I can kind of leverage folks that are going out to these meetings and getting, you know, new information, new gadgets to look at, things along that line.
Yeah, and I agree. It's Jeffrey had some good stuff from TechCrunch Disrupt, and I didn't get to watch nearly all of it. I watched a couple of things that he had put up, but you know, and it's time and money. It's really what it boils down to.
Exactly.
And one thing I had offered on my website was I was trying to find stringers, people that were going to events that would be willing to write two or three articles. And you know, it's actually it's a little bit harder than you think to find someone that's going to an event that's willing to sit down and write an article or two a day. And you guys know it, we all get pretty busy at these events, and the last thing you want to do is spend an hour writing a couple of blog posts for somebody. But it can be a challenge. Now, if we're doing it for ourselves, we can do it during a session, and it makes sense. But So we're going to be, I'm heading off to Blog World, obviously. We're going to be exhibiting there. So I'm going to be curious to see how this goes this year. Whether or not we're going to see if any of the LA entertainment movie creator types show up at this event. I just don't know if they will. And I haven't seen a lot of marketing towards those types of people. So we'll see if the independent filmmakers and stuff make it to Blog World. And we keep forgetting, and New Media Expo. And they haven't even published the doggone podcast sessions yet. And here we are, we're a month away. It just pisses me off. Yeah. You know, here we are, you know, we're a new media company and they haven't even announced the new media tracks yet. How can I promote an event when the new media tracks are not on the street? I don't get it. I really don't.
Well,
I think the
combination price point for the conference and the price point for you know, just being in LA. I'm actually leaving this next week for an RV related conference in Las Vegas, and you know, say what you may, the travel in and out of Las Vegas and accommodations while you're there are going to beat the pants off of any of these other venues that they come up with.
Except during CES, but every time out.
Except during CES.
You definitely can get much cheaper accommodations in Vegas than anywhere else because they got the inventory to handle it, you know?
Yep.
Andy, I hope you don't hold any stock in Kodak.
No, although I lived in Rochester for almost 4 years. It's going to be just a tremendous impact on that community.
Yeah, they've hired Jones Day for restructuring advice as it faces growing concerns from investors over its turnaround prospects. But the imaging company said it had no intention to file for bankruptcy protection, but they must be on the edge.
Wow.
Well, they've got Antonio Perez there, who was just an outstanding guy from Hewlett-Packard. So they are, there's no doubt that they are pushing every button and pulling every lever they can.
Well, you know, it's just like the record business, you know, I haven't bought any film in years and, they've tried to gone digital, but, they are definitely in deep trouble. I don't know how they can support 19,000 employees worldwide. I just don't get it, but their debt levels are way off the chart and, they've had some money pulled back. They burned $847 million the first half of the year, $957 million in cash on June 30th. And that doesn't bode well. Now, I haven't seen what their actual revenue numbers were, but their shares have lost more than half their value in a single day. And they're in bad shape.
And who'd have thought that would happen back in the day, so to speak? I mean, Kodak was such a huge company. Same thing with Polaroid. And now they pretty much just sold their brand name. They're not the same company they were, obviously. But things change. But it goes the way of buggy whips.
Yep. My team is ready, Andy. We've and Dr. Bill, we've got the Google TV app done. It is basically they're doing some last minute QA on it. So as soon as the Google TV platform is upgraded to Honeycomb, we'll be Google TV ready. And them having announced the API, and it was a difficult. It's a Linux running API, and you have to do all kinds of crazy stuff to get an emulator running. But we're ready to kick off with Google TV as soon as they make the rollover, and I'm hoping they do that soon. But
that run on the Logitech hardware at all?
Oh yeah. Well, if the Logitech hardware upgrades to Honeycomb, it will. And they're going to push an upgrade to everyone. So I'm assuming we're all going to get an upgrade.
So maybe I need to take a closer look then.
What'd you say, Annie?
Maybe I need to pay a little more attention when I'm in the big box store there and grab one of those Google TVs. Huh?
Well, $99, you can't beat the price. And to answer your question, Dr. Bill, it'll be an app for all the networks, for Tech Podcast, Blueberry, and everybody else. Yeah. And basically,
well, I was really pleased with the Blueberry app for Android. You know, there were a few little glitchy moments. I've got a Droid X, but for the most part, it worked pretty well, and I was able to watch sitting in the car in the parking lot, you know, at the store, and watch over 3G. Pretty neat stuff. And that's, you know, I'm really enthusiastic about IPTV and the direction that things are going. And it allows content creators like us, the kind of the small fish, the ability to do more. And with Roku Box, I've got the new Roku 2 that I'm bought to upgrade. I'm just really thrilled about what's going on with these technologies.
And Apple TV has announced that they're going to be launching in 7 new European countries next week. So they're going to be launching in Belgium, Denmark, Finland, Luxembourg, Netherlands, Norway, and Sweden. So that's pretty good that that's going to be available. I don't know how if they're going to be country specific or not, but they're going to be available for 119 euros. Apple TV's plan to sell at, and I don't know that symbol, whatever the Finnish currency is. So pretty much close to the same price here that they've got it in the United States. But I'm still a firm believer here. I'm still on the bandwagon that Apple is going to come out with their own television. I just can't imagine them not doing that. And I think, you know, I don't know if you were on the show last week. Were you on the show last week, Andy?
2 weeks ago, yes, when we were talking about that. And then I think there was an article in Business Week that came out just after we spoke, or at the same time.
Right. But whatever they do, they'll do big. And whatever Job said about anything being a hobby, he never did anything as a hobby. So time will tell.
Todd, there was a CEA notice, which I thought was quite interesting, talking about number of U.S. consumers planning to purchase a smart TV within the next year has actually doubled. Broadband households, go through this. More than a quarter of U.S. broadband households intend to purchase an internet-connectable CE device before the end of the year. More than a tenth of broadband households plan to purchase a smart TV, up from 6% in the first half. And this is advertisement from Samsung and Sony and Vizio is driving the awareness of it.
Right. Well, I think it's one of those things that's going to continue. I can't imagine, you know, people, if you're going to buy a TV, are you going to buy a TV that is a smart TV? You're going to buy one that is a dumb, you know, I guess. Well, it also too has to depend on the price, you know. And the way the economy is, people may, the adoption may not be as fast as what they had hoped. Because, you know, people are being real careful on what they spend their money on. Just, you know, because the economy is what it is. You can't blame them for that.
That's true.
It's going to be interesting when they look at internet-enabled TVs versus 3D. I'm not sure that 3D got the traction they need, and manufacturers are going to move to the next thing that gets some traction, and that might well be the internet connectivity.
3D what?
Yeah. Yeah, point well taken.
You know, it's, yeah, I think, what was your term that you were using 3 years ago? It was
the quadraphonic of video.
Yeah, the quadraphonic of video. And people that are younger have no idea what is it, quadraphonic stereo or something like that? What was that, quadraphonic sound? What was that that was out years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know you guys are probably not full tilt poker players, but have you heard about this whole scam that's been going around? About the millions of dollars that have been ciphered away. Imagine that you have a gambling site that's on in the Canary Islands, and you have offshore gambling. Of course, these sites were never for gambling, right? And some of the biggest names in poker were involved in the setup of these sites, and it seems like every one of them is going down for the count because they mysteriously all those millions of dollars that were in there went to the owners and. people have been indicted and are going to go to jail, you know. So, of course, there was never any real gambling going on, yet they had right. millions of dollars that were appropriated in different locations.
For yeah, never any chance to only. Win is more precise.
What were you saying, Andy?
For educational purposes only.
Right.
For amusement purposes.
So, you know, I know some people here in Hawaii who have actually gotten impacted by this. I know some people that are big time poker players, and I always caution them, you know, you best be careful. I wouldn't have my money in there. You know, I would be very, very, oh, it's safe. It's an online, you know, it's just gambling. It's like Vegas. I'm like, all right. And, you know, it's just like people that I told they better sell their AOL stock years ago that didn't listen to me. I'm sure they wish they would have listened to me and they hadn't, but they're the one that was left holding the bag on some crappy stock. Well, I really don't have anything else in my stack, guys. Have you guys run into anything personally that was of note that you thought was of interest?
Well, I just went down the rendezvous thing here earlier, so that's about it.
You went where, Andy?
The rendezvous site. That was my contribution for the
week. Oh, okay. So I do want to ask you, though, Andy, you had your big tell us about this shifting. This is non-tech related, but tell us real quick about the shifting dynamic on what the RV dealers did there in Elkhart last month that probably has the trade show folks scared. Can you talk about that for a second?
Yeah, it really is kind of a grassroots kind of effort that started with one of the major manufacturers here, right when in 4 years ago, when the first signs that the economy was starting to get into real trouble. They had set up a situation because of the proximity of so many manufacturers here that they just kind of invited dealers into town to do an open house at the factory and pulled out the barbecue and did the tailgate type of experience to entertain people. And that has grown so much that there were around 4,000 personnel from RV dealers around the country that came here to the to this informal event. And quite literally, some of the manufacturers were renting cornfields, you know, areas right here around town, were able to bring their product in and had, you know, set up barbecues and, you know, around the side and kind of little picnic areas and tents. And as long as the weather held, it was a really very informal experience, but a lot of good business relationships and a chance to see product totally different from a trade show, commercial convention center type of environment. And of course, it's much more economical for the manufacturers to have that. And there's, you know, questions as to whether or not the traditional trade show in the big formal sense is going to be able to have as much of a monopoly on the channel, communications channel for the industry as they have had in years past. So it's going to be interesting to see how it works out.
A lot cheaper to park in a cornfield than it is to rent that $500,000, $100 by $100 pavilion in a convention center.
Oh, yeah. And, bandwidth is not too great in the middle of the cornfield, but with this particular product, that's not especially an issue. What's an issue is just sheer acreage. Instead of bringing 10 sample units from your product line, you can bring 75 different units and variants and different paint packages or different interiors so that people can really see exactly what they're going to be getting. And what, you know, it helps they're making buying decisions on what units to carry for the coming year.
So you think this is, you know, in your industry and what you're working with now, you think this is going to affect the Louisville show?
I think not this year because a lot of that was booked previously, but I think 2013, you're going to see some people really looking very carefully about how much money they invest. And you know, we've seen this in the technology arena as well. You know, look at Comdex, right, or what used to be years ago, and look at some of these other major shows. I think the trade show business is got to be a lot of structural changes going on almost in every industry.
Yeah, I agree. I know we kind of switched topics there, but Dr. Bill, any tech articles, anything that came to light this past week that you thought would be good to cover?
Yeah, the one that that I mentioned, I was kind of walking over Andy there, so I shut up as quick as I could, but I'm really excited about a demo that occurred at VMworld for VMware's App Blast. It's a technology that, in a way, I think is the direction that a lot of companies are going to end up going, and that's leveraging the power of HTML5. I was not fully aware of how much HTML5 is going to change things. If you get a chance, go to my VirtZine blog. It's VirtZine.com. I've got a link there.
Spell that again.
VirtZine.com.
Okay, VirtZine.
And it's VirtZine.com. And the idea there is virtualization and cloud computing, and that I cover through this. But there's a link there to a video that's on YouTube. And they demo App Blast. And the idea of App Blast is, if you can imagine, you don't have any client installed locally on your machine. Your machine can be Mac, it can be Linux, it can be anything that runs an HTML5 browser. You click on an icon, and it runs the application displaying locally on your system. So Excel, PowerPoint, Word, they had Photoshop running on an iPad. Because it really isn't running on the iPad. It's actually running from the server, displaying locally. But for the user, all they're doing is clicking an icon on a web screen, and then it starts running the application. So I was absolutely thrilled with this technology. Now, this is pre-alpha, so it's not anything they're going to be releasing in the near term. But they were demonstrating the effectiveness of the technology, and I was just amazed by it, because it's going to change my world. With what I support at High Point Regional Hospital here in High Point, because application delivery to the desktop, right now we're using Citrix. There's a big infrastructure in the background. There has to be a client installed locally. This is zero client, other than having the HTML5 compliant browser. So really exciting stuff.
You know, I think from our perspective, we realize that HTML5 has got a huge potential, because, you know, you just look, and let me actually give you an example. Let me bring this up. Let me take this down and let me go to my website. You know, it's not very often that, you know, you can bypass lots of companies. You know, you look here, here's my video. It's on my website. I've got the ability to provide people an embed code where they can take that and they can put that anywhere they want. I've got the ability where people can download it. They can play content on the website itself. And it's not driven by YouTube. That's not driven by Blip. That doesn't have anybody's right. advertising in there. That is my control. That is the video that I want people to see, and not the encode someone else has. And that's where HTML5 for me has been so powerful, in that I've been able to regain my entire delivery chain. And we're getting ready here we're going to be making a major announcement in a couple of weeks. We've come up with a way to, I can't even say, because if I say it now, I'm going to release it. All I'm going to say is it's going to give media creators that much more control of their content. And we feel that this is something that will be largely adopted. And we're pretty excited. We're going to be talking about it a lot at Blog World. As a matter of fact, we're waiting. We're ready. We're just waiting for the trademark filing to be approved for what we're calling it. But and it's not something that other companies won't be able to implement, but we just wanted to be the ones that are going to announce the the technology itself. And I think what you're going to find is that as media, specifically as media creators, HTML5 and what's happening in the space is giving people a lot more options than what they had before. Now, I'm not going to discount YouTube and other sites like that. They serve a purpose, but I get, not even 0.01% viewers over on YouTube because of the long form content as compared to what I get on my website and downloaded and consumed on multiple media devices. So I think we're all in a great time right now, and it's only going to get better as time moves forward. But anyway, I've already said too much. If Angela was listening, he'd be like, you're giving too much away already. And I really haven't given you guys nothing. I know that, but we're excited to be able to come out with some new announcements. And we've shared it with one other major company and they're like, yeah, let's go. And so I think we're on to a good new technology that you're all going to be excited about. So anyway, any final comments before we punch out of here?
Hey, if it's new and shiny, that means it's got to be good, right?
That's right. New and shiny. And, you know,
right there.
What'd you say, Andy?
I say if it's new and shiny, it's got to be good. And the people got a hold of me in the RV business. You know, when I'm in an interview and I get that kind of look where I'm interested in something.
Right.
Yeah, we had that happen and interview went way long and so forth. So anyway, so they're learning more about my little quirks there.
Well, that's good. And, we're just going to have to get that broke out of you in for CES because we don't want to have these 25-minute in-booth conversations. And matter of fact, I'm waiting for, got to reach out to CEA again and find out what the status is on our live booth. I'm fully sure we've got one. We just got to make sure that, find out where they're going to have us this year. So we're waiting for positioning, I guess, for a better word. And Dr. Bill, anything going on with you? Anything special in the next few weeks? Or,
well, you know, I mentioned earlier about the handheld hack netcast that we're going to have. We're at handheldhack.com with the website, but still haven't quite got the podcast together yet, but hopefully soon. So the network, my network is expanding, just like I know Geek News Central is, and all the different netcasters. I still call them netcasters because choice on my part of being a little more network-centric than iPod-centric. But at any rate, I'm pretty excited about what's happening with all the content creators of these kinds of programs and the diversity that's out there and interest that are represented. There's something for everybody. And so I'm really pretty jazzed about where we're headed in the future.
Well, I couldn't agree more. Well, folks, you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com. And if you want to call our voicemail hotline, you can do that at 619-342-7365. Make sure you check out all the shows at techpodcast.com as well. All family-friendly shows over there. And I think you'll enjoy watching the content. As Dr. Bill said, there's something there for everyone. And of course, I want to encourage you to come back here and watch me live Monday and Thursday nights for the Geek News Central podcast if you're still awake in the middle of the night. Otherwise, you can catch the show Tuesdays and Fridays when it's released. And we'll have the Chrome show back up and running. The Gadget Professor was off this week due to a family emergency. And we've talked to Langley for Robot Underpants. I think that show is going to be continuing audio only versus audio and video, just a little easier for Langley to get it out. But I think that's it, guys. I think we'll see you in the next time around. And thanks for hanging out this morning with us. And those of you that have been on the live stream, if you had trouble with the audio, I apologize. But we'll look into that and make sure that the audio levels are cranked up. But until next time, everyone take care. And aloha.